The scriptures I'd like to share with you today are part of our continuing study in the book of Ephesians. We are now in week 4 of that study, and so we are in chapter 4 as we're taking one chapter at a time. So let us hear God's word together in Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility in their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for you are all members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may have noticed now how jam-packed this book of Ephesians is, and it has so much meaty Christian teachings. This is not the milk of the word. This is solid food. And so as we go through these six chapters, you might feel at times like you're studying these books and drinking out of a fire hose. Well, Ephesians is a book that will bear fruit in your life if you stick with it. and you let God have his way with you. And so let us ask Jesus Christ to speak to us, that we might receive his personal messages to us from this book in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, prepare us now and speak to us, that we might obey your calling in our lives, and that we might be the Christ-like people that you've called us to be, a higher calling than that of the world. We pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Verses 1 through 6. Paul writes, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." Paul is beginning this section by mentioning again that he is not a prisoner of Rome. He's not a prisoner of the Jews. He's a prisoner of Christ. He was imploring the Ephesians that if he is so willing to be a prisoner of the Lord, that they should at least walk, which means to continue every day, in a manner that is worthy of their high calling in Christ. That isn't just a call to keep from sinning, friends. It's a call to a new way of living, a higher call of living, being guided by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Christ calls us to a higher calling than the world will ever call you to do. Christians are just not bottom feeders. We are spiritually fed upon the word that comes from Christ, and we've been called to dwell with him on high, not just in heaven someday, but now in this life. Now, the word onekomai in verse 2, translated as forbearance or tolerance, literally means to hold oneself up against. It means to put up with one another or to suffer with each other, and yet he adds another qualifying word, a very important word, agape, God's love. Therefore, what this means is we're not merely to endure each other. We are to bear each other up in divine love. Another way to say this would be we're not only to tolerate each other, but just as God loves us so much, he builds us up and seeks our highest good, we are also to love each other enough to seek one another's highest good, to build each other up towards that goal. And yet these verses cannot be used, as some do, to justify sin or to tolerate some heretical teaching in the Christian faith. We are rather to show tolerance to one another as people. Our personality differences, for instance, our peculiar mannerisms and those things outside of sin that make us who we are. In fact, Paul is clear that we should not tolerate teachings that are in conflict with the gospel because it derails people from placing their faith in the one true God. In verse 14 of this chapter, he says that we are not to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So now these next verses are among the most popular and memorable verses in the New Testament. And we see that the oneness that we experience in the church is intrinsic to the very nature of who God is. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is why Paul mentions the Spirit, he mentions here, the Lord, he's speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, and then he also mentions the Father. Now, that would be sheer redundancy for him to mention God under these three titles if there were not some concept already of the Trinity in the early church. Please don't try to convince me, like some of my seminary professors tried to do, that the concept of the Trinity is not found anywhere in the New Testament. It's right here. Just read your Bible. And it's also when Jesus taught about the Father and the Spirit and himself. Paul makes the analogy that even as the Spirit and the Lord Jesus, and the Father are one, in the same way, we as persons are one in the church. How would that divine analogy make any sense at all if God was not ever understood as one God and three persons? How is that not the doctrine of the Trinity? Then he says there's also just one Christian faith. Friends, there is not more than one Christian faith. The Christian faith has essential truths that identify it as the one true gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, we're always to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter our differences. And sometimes we get those wrong. But there's only one gospel. And we are to be diligent to preserve the unity and the bond of peace. Now, we may just gloss over what that verse is really saying. The unity that we have in Christ is not ours to achieve. It's ours to preserve. Listen to it. Christ has already made us one through the gospel, through the Spirit, through the Father, through the Lord. And we have to be careful about that. Paul says that we need to preserve that unity. May I say, therefore, that churches that don't believe the gospel any longer, deny the New Testament Christian faith, they're not creating unity in the church. And then they have the audacity to claim that anyone else in the church that still believes in the New Testament gospel is disrupting the church and causing disunity. That is not preserving Christian unity. It is not preserving the Christian faith. Quite the opposite. It's causing disunity. It is causing the breakdown of the Christian faith. Paul begged the saints in Ephesus to walk in a worthy Christian manner. Not just that they believe in Christ, but to walk every day. That means everything that you do. He concludes that unity and purity are crucial to God's church. Presbyterians call these two things the purity and the peace of the church. But in the end, one is just as important as the other. You see, purity and unity are intricately tied to each other. You can't have one without the other. And it's easy to see that the purity of the church is compromised when the church is divided. But we also have to realize that our unity in the Holy Spirit is disrupted once the church compromises its purity. Verses 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. There it is again. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man or person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God builds us up, equips us for service, matures us in Christ through the writings of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, through pastors and teachers. Our goal is to attain to the unity of the faith, singular, not faiths, plural. Therefore, the gifts that God gives to us, the gifts that God gives to people, are not merely for ourselves, for our own private use and edification. The gifts that he gives us are to help build up God's people in the church. Your gifts and mine are to equip our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can serve Christ and worship him, and that we will all mature in him. We won't mature to only a certain level until we use our gifts for the good of others. Paul said we all need to grow up in the faith that Jesus proclaimed, the faith that he proclaimed and lived, as revealed in the New Testament. There is no other. If some group or congregation can no longer articulate what they believe, or they can simply no longer accept the gospel accounts, then they're in spiritual trouble. And they've already become a divided body outside of Christ's body, the church. And that leads us to the next point, verses 14 through 16. As a result of maturity, then we are no longer just children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Speaking the truth in love means that with great compassion we share the truth. We never compromise that truth in order to make it more palatable. In fact, that is not love or compassion to change the gospel truths just to suit our needs. Neither is it a viable outreach to any generation to compromise the truth of the gospel in order to reach them. We will not grow up in all aspects of Christ ourselves unless we proclaim the truth of the gospel and others hear the truth of the gospel. So it does young people, for instance, no good to teach them some corrupted message, even if they readily accept it. And so when parents send their children to some group that may not be teaching the gospel, that's only going to make them more susceptible to being carried off by strange winds of doctrine. We are to speak the truth in love so that all may grow in the knowledge of Christ and in the love of Christ, including the people who know the truth of the gospel. You'll only grow to a certain level until you speak the truth in love. We all need to mature spiritually. Thank you, Lord, that stature belongs to the fullness of Christ. When we invite Christ into our lives, we have the privilege, the opportunity to begin to mature in Christ, that we're not remaining as children in the faith. Yes, we are to trust God like a little child, but we are still to grow spiritually. Therefore, there are many peoples, I think, all around the world, even in churches, that are spiritual children, and they remain so no matter their age. Our knowledge of Christ, everyone's knowledge of Christ who's a Christian, should be growing to such a degree that we should know Jesus a little better today than we did yesterday, and that our love should also be growing to such a degree that we should love one another more today than we did yesterday. Verses 17 through 24. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. As a child, it was my mother who first introduced me to the Christian faith. She taught me how to pray, to trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior, to ask him to forgive me of my sins. She told me that I would become a better person if I did what God wanted me to do with my life, not a perfect person, but a better person than I would be without him. And even the world becomes a little better place when we do what God wants us to do. And I learned that there are some behaviors that hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. They're sins. And yet, if we are in Christ, we are forgiven. And we are also renewed to be stronger the next time. That is the way I learned Jesus Christ as a child. Paul affirmed what the Lord taught. That's why he said, affirm together with the Lord, that we should no longer walk as the rest of the world walks in the futility of their minds. Paul knew that the Ephesians came to Christ. And before that time, They continually walked in darkness, ignorance, and hardness of heart, sensuality, impurity, greed, and selfishness. And he concluded that at that time they were outside of the eternal life of God. Paul is reminding them of their old lives, not to make them feel guilty or to bury them in shame, but to make the point that they did not learn Christ that way. And I submit to you today that we did not learn Christ in the ways of the world today, the current theological debates, the political debates that are being pushed down our throats. And Paul qualifies his statement by saying this: if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. So what he is suggesting is, maybe there are some in the larger church who teach differently only because they've not heard his voice. They've not been taught by the Holy Spirit. They have not discovered that truth is in Jesus. And yet, if you and I have heard his voice and been guided by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, and we have discovered that truth is Jesus, then we must agree that Christians are not to be controlled by their old natures, the power of their old natures. We're to remove that old person from us, like removing an old, torn, filthy garment, tearing it away from us. And we're to put on the new person, which has been renewed, created in glory by Christ. So let us lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and may each of us put on the new self, which is being renewed and made in the likeness of God. Verses 25 through 32. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, if you and I just casually read this list of Paul's admonitions to the church, we may come away with the impression that they're nothing more than just a list of laws to obey. And sometimes every new generation comes along and reads these lists and thinks the same thing. Indeed, these are a list of moral and ethical laws. But in this list is something more profound. It is also a list, a measuring rod, if you will, or a barometer of determining how we are doing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we are regularly practicing these kinds of negative behaviors, then we're not being led daily by the Holy Spirit or by the Word of God. So if you want to look at yourself, you want to take an inventory of your life and say, how am I doing in the Christian faith? How is the Holy Spirit leading me? Then just look in the mirror and look at your behaviors. Your mirror is going to tell you whether you're obeying the negative parts of these lists or the positive parts. You see, if you look deeper in this list, you discover that this is not just a list of do nots or don'ts. It's also a list of do's. Sometimes all we hear in the church are those things that are forbidden. Don't do this and don't do that. But alongside of every one of these do nots, I want you to see in Paul's list is also a list of do's. Do not speak falsehoods. Do speak the truth. Do not steal, but do labor. Do not speak unwholesome words. Let no rotten word proceed from our mouths. That's what the Greek is saying in verse 29. But do speak words that build up people in their faith. Do not harbor bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. Do Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Do you hear this list of do's here? They're contributing to the concept that the scriptures are not just a list of do nots, but godly behavior that is really a bunch of do's, of yeses. Yes in Christ to these things. Now, Paul uses the word for edification in verse 29, oikodome. But he also uses that word in verse 12 and verse 16. And it means to build up one another, not by flattery, not in clever scheming, but to build up people in their faith, to help someone, even see them succeed beyond what you have. What you can say is that you might help someone have more faith in Christ. Help that person with his or her faith. Be a real brother or sister in Christ. You know, one of the reasons that Jesus was crucified was sheer jealousy of the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. Look to a person's highest good, even if that person succeeds beyond what you have. Finally, Paul says that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. And yet, he never suggests that the Holy Spirit's going to leave us if we do grieve him. In fact, Paul reminds us of just the opposite, that the Holy Spirit has sealed us for that day. But we can grieve him. That is one of the miracles and blessings of God's salvation. You didn't earn it to begin with. You can't earn it to keep it. He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. That is building someone up in the faith. Yes, we can grieve God's Holy Spirit. But in the end, if we are Christ's to begin with, he has sealed us and purchased our redemption. And the price was high enough to pay for all sins, past, present, and future. And to be a part of his family now as adopted children and in his kingdom as a citizen of Christ's new kingdom. And that is to the praise of God's glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God as it comes to us in Ephesians chapter 4, that we might learn and grow in faith, that we might mature in the faith as is expected of those who have the stature of being filled with Christ. And Lord, may we seek a person's highest good, even beyond our own, as Jesus did for all of us. We pray in his name. Amen.